Welcome, everybody. I'm going to talk to you about the next version of automated guidance. Since you're here at the P&P Symposium, I presume that most everybody's probably heard of the P&P software factories, the web client software factories, and maybe about the guidance automation toolkit and so forth that we've used to do some things in the past. And all right, come on. It's a feature, right? There we go. So I want to explain a little bit about how we as a whole company got to this business of automated guidance. 7 years ago, before I came to Microsoft, I was running a development team of 20 developers building a large ASP.NET application using what we now call AJAX. We didn't even have a name for it at that point. Multiple threads of execution in JavaScript with XML going back and forth in hidden iframes and all that kind of good stuff. And when we onboarded a new developer, they first of all had to learn ASP.NET. They were usually C# WinForms developers. They also had to learn how to do this asynchronous aspect of JavaScript with iframes. And we basically had to lead them through the process of learning how to build pages for this application that the way we built pages for the application. And the challenge was that every time you did that, you know, you had to basically sit with the developer and lead them down through the process saying, here's where you can find our source code repository, here's where you can find a template for making a page, here's what to do, here's what not to do, and basically it was a very labor-intensive process. And when I came to Microsoft, I started hearing about this thing called software factories. Now, at that point in time, there was this great 600-page book written by Jack Greenfield and Keith Short, and I found out shortly after I got here, there was this great 600-page book written by Jack Greenfield and Keith Short, and that's all there was in the whole world. There were no bits. There wasn't even an overall plan for how to build one of these things. And so we started going down the process of figuring out how to actually make them. In parallel, the Visual Studio product group, along with Patterns and Practices, you know, started to build some tooling to figure out how to do it, and that's what became the Guidance Automation Toolkit, along with the Guidance Automation Extensions. Meanwhile, I was working over in the Developer and Platform Evangelism group, responsible for things like all of the people that build compilers for .NET and Visual Studio tools for applications, people that built languages that hooked into their applications, a bunch of other different things. And at the same time, I was busy trying to figure out how to... I was also the micro ISV evangelist, which means what we called, you know, two people in a cat shops, where they're basically under 10 people, under $1 million revenue, and there's 100,000 of them out there in the world at least, and that was before the iPhone. Now there's, what, 300,000 or a million or whatever. I tried to figure out how do we bring these people up to speed, because a lot of them were still using Visual Basic 6 or Delphi. And so we tried to figure out what we had out there, and we started looking around, and we said, well, we got starter kits, and then we looked at them, and we said, those suck. So how do we make starter kits that don't suck? Well, you know what the future is now, 7 years later. There's a new API every day you've got to deal with. And when you sit there in front of a new technology, it doesn't make any difference how many years of experience you have writing code. You know, I've been writing code since Woodstock. I've got 40 years worth of development experience. But if I sit down in front of Windows Phone 7, it's just about the same as sitting there on the very first day trying to figure out how do I make this do something. And then, of course, you get a bunch of new developers, and you got to make them figure out how to do it. And if you've got to lead them, you know, you've got to figure out how do you scale that, because you can't sit there as a development manager and onboard 5 new developers all at once by sitting individually one by one in their offices. Then, once you've started to learn this stuff, you start learning where things are, but the system doesn't help you remember where any of it is. So you constantly have to start building up your bookmarks, and there's no way to create some sort of knowledge base of information to help the developers. And then finally, the development environment, you know, gives you, again, sort of raw templates, but it seldom remembers what it is you're actually doing. So when you go off and search for Listbox, let's say, it doesn't know that this is Listbox for Windows Phone 7 version 1 with you know, Visual Studio 2010, RTM version, and it's .NET 4 and all these sorts of things. You may end up with some blog post from some guy who's a highly respected WPF MVP who wrote something 6 years ago, 3 years ago, when it was beta 2, because he's highly ranked. So the PageRank engines are going to give you, you know, the most, what they think is the most relevant, even though it might be completely out of date and that has nothing to do with what you're doing. So, as I said, it doesn't scale. So what do we do about this? Well, so we decided to start thinking about how do we create small things that will deliver the code that you need to have a developer learn, some information, some steps, some process, what we call the map, and sometimes some tools to help them navigate around it. So we created, I created like three or four versions of this. They were previously called things like Project GlidePath and Microsoft Blueprints. And about 2 years, about a year and a half ago, when Visual Studio 2010 was about to be under heavy development, the product group finally said, hey, we need to do this as a as something that we think might eventually end up in the product. So we're going to create, as Jason mentioned earlier, a power tool. And it's a power tool. Remember, the sequence is power tool, feature pack, product. So a power tool is something that's built by the product group. It's done as a way to find out whether or not people really want it. For example, the how many people here use the Team Foundation power tools with TFS? Now, when the next version of Visual Studio comes out and those don't work, are you going to complain? Yeah, because you need that, you know, TFPP undo, unchanged checkouts, because that's the only place it is. It's not in the product. Well, so with what we're doing here, part of our objective is to make this as easy to use and as desirable as that, so eventually the product group says, gee, I need to get that in the product. So we created this concept of a feature extension with the around the V6 thing. And in the process of this, we sort of created this concept of a virtual mentor. It's like, how can I be the little guy sitting on my developer's shoulder, telling him what to do, showing him where the things are at their own pace, anytime they want? So I'm going to give you a quick demo of one of these in action. You've seen at various times here the people doing the file new project with the Windows Phone application. And what did you get? You got a solution full of files. And that was great, but wouldn't it be nice if it was a little bit more sophisticated than that? Let's see. Oh, here we go. Starter kits that don't suck. Here's a Windows Phone 7 starter kit that doesn't suck. And not only do we get the solution, but we get the content that you need. Here's links directly to MSDN. Here's pieces that can describe to you what you need to do. Here's even one that will open the code behind the XAML file so that you can show what you want to do. So we've built something that allows you to deliver this kind of experience to your developers and deliver it very, very easily. So you can say, oh, I've got a project template here. Let me build some directory full of documentation over here. And they mash the two of them together, and out the other end comes a V6 that I can give everybody, and they can do this. As part of that, we've built four simple commands into this mechanism that will allow you to do things like open files or run a Visual Studio command like build or fire up some external program like I want to run the media player and show somebody a screencast and or copy something to the clipboard. So if you want to build like a step-by-step hands-on lab, you can do that. All of this is without you having to write any custom Visual Studio extensibility code at all. It's all just drag and drop, and I'll show you the actual process of building that in a minute. But you get the basic ideas. You get this process of documentation. The documentation can be hyperlinked among itself. As I showed you, there's the commands and so forth. Now, we'll go back to the presentation here. Oh, that's good. Well, let's start here. That's what I wanted. Yeah. Well, wasn't that hard to do? Well, no, actually. To borrow a line from that ubiquitous guy in the black turtleneck, there's a V6 for that. So we have something called the Instant Feature Builder, which is a V6 you'll be able to get from CodePlex week after next. You download that, install it in Visual Studio, and you'll be able to build these kind of feature extensions by basically doing drag and drop, export template, you know, build a solution, do an export template from Visual Studio, import the template, build your documentation, push the button, and out the other end comes V6 you can give to your developers. So basically, just add content. Now, Microsoft in the past has been, described sometimes as doing bundling of certain things. Well, this is the good kind of bundling. We have a tool that's going to bundle the tools that we give you, the code that you've written, the documentation, the map, and put it all in a V6 by just doing open up, create a solution in Visual Studio, and do a build. And so what you need to do for your developers is show them the way, give them the steps they need to follow, deliver the goods, build project templates, item templates, other kinds of content files you want to give them, for example, code snippets to copy to the clipboard, PDFs, videos, whatever, and use some of the simple built-in commands to make VS work for you. Now, you're saying, that's really great, Michael, but my problem is more complicated than that. You know, I need to have something that has wizards, and it's going to require validation. I'm building medical applications, and I need to make sure that my developer follows the steps step by step, and that, you know, he's actually done this stuff so that the FDA will approve my device. And I need to do more custom Visual Studio extensibility. I want my own domain-specific language designers, and I want all of that. Well, we have an answer for that. We call it the Ultimate Feature Builder. If you go to the Visual Studio Gallery, you can download this right now. And this requires Visual Studio Ultimate in order to author these things. The thing you produce can run on Visual Studio Pro and above. With the Instant Feature Builder, you can author on Pro and run on Pro and above. Now, the reason that the Ultimate Feature Builder requires Ultimate is because, as you can see this diagram in blue in the middle here, the map, that's created using a UML activity diagram. So that you can do parallelism, forks and joins, and decisions and merges. You can force your developer, if you want, to follow a specific path. You can tell them you can't go past this step until you've done that piece. You can say, hey, I need you to deploy to the test server, and you can actually write conditions that say, let me make sure the test server is online, and you put in the right connection string, and so on and so forth. So you can really help them if you want to do that. You know, people that really need to do that, as I mentioned, is potentially people like medical device manufacturers, or let's say somebody building a space shuttle or something that, you know, if you don't do it right, you know, it overshoots Mars and crashes because you didn't get the conversions right.